Praise the Lord. The moving of the Spirit. Are you here? We've been looking at the moving of the Spirit. Did you have a great time last week? Beautiful. So the moving of the Spirit. And we said the move of the Spirit is a, look at the song we just sang. That was an old song. Amen. There's a sweet, sweet Spirit. I think it was a song we sang at World Children's Conference 99. Sang the Lord in the meeting. So you have the old timers, old time charismatic. They will say, move of the Spirit. Usually when they say move of the Spirit, it's something that, as it were, breaks our normal protocol. The move of the Spirit. And a believer, listen, a believer should be hungry for the things of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:31. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Paul said, covet earnestly. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 12:31. Paul says, covet earnestly the best gifts. In chapter 14, verse 1, he says to follow after. Follow after. To covet earnestly. So you must have an attitude. So those who pray for the move of the Spirit. This morning in the service, if you came early, we prayed for the moving of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts. Now, this is not a church that was without spiritual gifts, because in chapter 1 and verse 7, he says that this church came behind in no gifts. Yet, their desire had to be ongoing. There are some Christians who are too cold, too laid back. They're just cold. They just, after speaking in tongues, that's all. They are just cold. That's all. They just, it's all right. And then they'll desire other things. And they want to go to work in the morning. They want to see their best friends. You know, desire is an attitude. You desire to see your friends. You desire to watch a game. Even though I know you're not looking forward to what's going to happen this afternoon. Like, the devils are in trouble. Because the devils are under our feet. Just happen like that. So you have desire. You desire this one, you know. You desire, when you get to school, you know. You desire to have a higher grade. When you're at work, you desire to be promoted. You desire your business to have more profit. So desire is your own attitude. And you see, what kills desire is either ignorance or lack of interest. Ignorance is acceptable. But lack of interest will be carnality. When a Christian doesn't want more of the things of God, he wants more of something else. Because the Bible says you should desire. Paul says desire. In chapter 14 again, if you will, look at verse 13. Paul again says, verse 12 I mean, he says, be zealous. Look at how many instructions. In how many words? Be zealous. In verse 39, he says, forbid not, covet. Praise the Lord. So look at how many instructions to a church that had all the gifts working. There are Christians that if you ask them, mention the gifts of the Spirit. I once asked someone, he said, do you know the gifts of the Spirit? He said, yes. He said, drama. Drama. Seriously. I said, what? He said, drama. That's what they call gifts of the Spirit. You don't blame him. Because that's what they feed him in the church. To keep him alive. Active. I said, no. Drama is not the gift of the Spirit. I'm not talking about a young person who, the elderly person, have to start explaining to him in the Word of God. Said, hey. I said, is there adults speaking in tongues is for Pentecostals? I said, no, it's in the Word of God. I showed him different things. He said, this is for people who are in the ministry. I said, no. Even though he's supposed to be in the ministry because he's a Christian. But I said, no. Paul says, the manifestation of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:7, is given to every man. He didn't know. So that's ignorance. Some people are just ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. I've seen believers who are ignorant. I will share the story of when I went to a Southern African country some 25 years ago. And I saw the congregation. You could literally feel it. You would know. You see, what some people do, and I'm not trying to castigate any church, when they don't have spiritual fervor, they now replace it with many activities. I recall I was with the executive of a campus fellowship years ago before when I was in the university, and then they were trying to plan for the year. I was not an executive, but I had the privilege to sit with them at some point. So we began to plan for the year. And they said, so what do we now do for the sisters? What do we now do for the brothers? And he said, you know, at this point, there's the examination is going to come. We have to examine. And they were not planning, just the flesh. Then I said, you know, and then, at least, you know, we can't just have what. This one. Then I said, you know, let's do like this. Let's dedicate a weekend for the word. He said, well, we did that one fills the quota for the word. So a weekend for the word. I was like, wow. Then the next week, let's go on picnic. They were trying to, I said, have you ever asked God what he wanted or wants? I asked the pastor. I didn't ask them together because they would just have looked at me one kind. They've already been looking at me one kind. They would just have, you know, sometimes people look at you one kind, one of the air, I. When they use the two, you're in trouble. So I just called the pastor and I told him, sir, have you asked God? Did you pray about these things? He said, you know, he's ESCO. I don't have much. I said, no, you are the leader. You should be led by the Spirit of God. You don't need to feel inactive so that people will not leave church. That is carnality. So, you know, they have to feel inactivity. So they will now get, sometimes they'll bring in a popular musician so that people will come to church. That is carnality. Carnality. Real carnality. The way, you know, the way, brands, what do you call it now? The brands, maybe they want to market. They'll now say, for example, I am doing something you are going to see. And they said, we need faces. And we sat down to strategize how to get people to, don't give me too much information. People to what it is. They said, this guy, so we began to investigate. This guy has so and so followers on Instagram, TikTok. I've never used TikTok before. One of them said, go and check the TikTok. I said, what's TikTok? It looks like a Chinese name. And they said, go check it. He has these followers. So we said, we have to get this guy. When we get this guy, people will whatever we're doing. But you see, that is the world. But interestingly, people do it in church. Sometimes, a pastor will bring in a preacher that doesn't agree with him doctrinally, but he has crowds. So he brings a guy so that he can have more people in the assembly. So that he can get more people in the meetings. So you see, that's carnality. You are trying to bring worldly tactics. I will do it for business. But church is not business. Is that clear? When we got our first book out, Tell the World, I will never forget this story. This brother was in the ministry. He said, sir, the cover page is not exciting. I said, why? He said, now, I'm going to quote him verbatim. He said, people, you know, get attracted to products that have women, particularly fine women. He said it in the meeting of born again people. Fine women. I'm not done. My mouth was like this. He dropped his bomb. He said, because naturally, he was explaining like he was reading the Bible. He said, women are sex symbols. He said it in a church. The brother that we're going to say, bro, so and so, He said, I'm just saying so that we can sell. And his prophecy came to pass because we didn't sell the book. We couldn't sell it. So he was correct. Two reasons. In fact, the books, we gave it to my book free of charge. The others somewhere under the bed. You know those books that you first write that you read alone. The others are still with the printer because we didn't have enough money to get the balance. So he was correct. But the books are now read all over the world. Hallelujah. You don't use the flesh. And some churches do it to keep people, then they keep looking for something to, yeah, let's just keep couples, let's couples in weekend. You know, I'm not saying they're wrong, but it must be genuinely to build the couples. It's not so that people say, I like that church. They believe in couples. No, that is carnality. So usually, I said the first reason, people are, they don't flow with the Holy Spirit, or they don't have desires because they are not told. I told you how I went to Southern Africa, and I could literally pick out in the congregation that they were very cold. And I asked the pastor, I said, what do you say about the moving of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost? When he answered me, I knew why the church was cold. They were told that they had to wait. God had to move on them. That you see, they have to have qualifications. That you have to be this one, you have to be that one, you have to be this one, you have to be this one before the Holy Ghost. So, but I didn't argue with the man. Because if I had argued with him, I've never preached somewhere, and as you are preaching, they come and bring a paper. Sakuda. I've heard that before. He said, cool down. Don't go to that side. Someone told me this. I was preaching for him. And he asked me, in the middle of the meeting, I hope you are not going to talk about tithe. He said, in the middle of the meeting. I said, why? So because it's a very important doctrine of our church. Then he said, do you believe in tithe? I said, I believe in Jesus. Now when I say things like this, people think I hate tithe. I don't. If you have it, give me. But you see, when I got there, when I asked the man, and he didn't answer, and he answered me, I didn't say, eh. I just said, oh, that's great. In my head, I meant great ignorance. So I went back, came back in the evening for the evening session. And as I began to open the Word of God, this is what the Word of God does. You literally see, of course I prayed. Every time you have such hindrance in ministry, you have to pray, okay? If something has been a long-held belief for years, apart from teaching people, you have to pray for them. So I prayed. I took time to just pray out the meeting in the mornings to the afternoons. Myself and a friend of mine were together. So as I got there in the evening, I began to speak. And share from the Word of God. Of course, I did something a little bit radical. I won't do that today. Radical was my nickname in secondary school. I wore all jeans top. Don't let me finish this. Before I start looking at me, okay. I wanted to be controversial that evening. I wore all jeans top and I did some other things. And I went on the pulpit. The man was looking at me. Maybe I was trying to do an illustration. No. So I began to speak. And I began to open the Word of God. You could see their faces lit up. And I was showing them from the Word, showing them from the Word. And God helped me because I could quote the text. I was quoting it. So time did not go at all. Beep, 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 beep. So I was, and that's another thing. As I was quoting, they were reading. They were saying, it's there. I was explaining it. So as I was done, and I could feel, you know, you could literally feel those at your back were going, but I didn't care. So as I was preaching, I said, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, they're not speaking in other tongues, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, come out. And they came out in their hundreds. I know in the minds of the leadership, the Lord thought, he'll call us. How can he lay hands on all of them? I just called my friend. I began to lay hands. As we're laying hands on them, you will see that some of those tongues had been stored for years. Because some of them came out in capital letters. You know, this is, they put hyphen, bracket, inverted comma. We are ready for this one. You know, and some of them were a bit mischievous. As they spoke in tongues, they went close to the bishop and go, bro. Now, I knew that was my last day there. No one had to prophesy that I wasn't going to be called back again. But I've done my job. What was the point? That was ignorance. There are those that are not ignorant. They are just no longer interested. Because they have put that interest on something else. Whenever you lose interest for the moving of the Spirit, something else has gained that interest. Every human being has desire. Everybody. So, the interest may have been changed. Because listen, a believer must always desire for more. Did you hear what I said? You hear what I said? Always desire for more. And how many of you, sometimes you just sense deep down in your spirit that there's a lot more. Let me see your hand. Come on. You just sense deep down. It's of God to think that way. You just sense deep down. There's a lot more. See, no matter what you have seen in the moving of the Spirit, there's more. There's always more. So Paul will say, desire more. Look out for more. There's more in the moving of the Spirit. So the old timers, when they say move of the Spirit, they say, you know, a freshness. Sometimes it's just a freshness. Another dimension to the moving of the Spirit. When I got born again some few weeks ago, I began to speak in tongues. I got saved around 10 o'clock, 10:15. I got filled with the Holy Ghost around 10:30 in the morning. Sunday morning like this. I always say, if they had waited one more day, I wouldn't have spoken in tongues on time. Because I would have questioned everything. I would have asked you questions. Hey, Oga, this one that you want to lay hands, what is it for? If you tell me, Satan is confused. Do I have any problem with Satan? I don't have to confuse Satan. I didn't have to do that, but I got filled with the Holy Ghost. But that was just about all that I saw. I was just speaking in tongues and speaking in tongues and speaking in tongues and speaking in tongues. And they say, let's just speak in tongues. Our prayer language, just speak in tongues. But deep down my spirit, I knew there was more. I didn't have any knowledge of it. I just knew there was a lot more. I was just in my spirit thinking there's more. But you know, because it wasn't much explained. After a while, something else happened. I saw people cast out demons. No, sorry. I take that back. The week afterwards, I was taken to a crusade, a New Covenant Church, someone died by them. And then the man, Dr. Kumal Pai, was ministering that day. Reverend Paul Jinodu, I believe, yeah. And then the late Dr. Hobe. They were all ministering. So I saw something that night. The miraculous. But you know, because we're far from the stage, I just saw some, and I, you know, when a believer sees what belongs to us, you just go, praise God. I just knew someday, somehow, somewhere, I'm going to do this. Hallelujah. I know you felt that way before. Come on, let me see your hand. It's not an ambition, it's the Holy Ghost. Are you here? Just someday, somewhere. I just got born again a few days ago. But I knew in my spirit. Glory to God. Every born again person has that in his spirit. There's a craving in your spirit for the supernatural. Because you are supernatural. Hallelujah. It's a craving. So some guys, rather than get it originally, they go into cults. They want power. One guy like that, he was a friend to someone I know. I asked him, why did you join the cult? He said, it's just fear. He said, power. And I laughed at him. So he said, they gave him one charm. This was in 2003 or 4. He said, they gave him something. That thing that he described, he said, where is it? He said, he buried it somewhere. So I went to his house. And then they brought the thing out. They said, dig it out. Brought it out. Give it to me. Give it to me. So I began to look at it. I was looking at me like, I said, what's this? Rubbish. So this is where the power is. Hallelujah. This is where the power is. I once had a landlord who put something on our door. So every evening he put it on the door. He said the thing would scare away robbers and things like that. That it would scare evil spirits. The man was an herbalist. So I got home late. I didn't even know he had put it there. So I got home late. And then my neighbor said, Prosheku,
Ah, Baba said, so, so. I said, who's Baba? He said, Baba said, that's in on the door. I said, where is the door? He said, that's it. So I went, my neighbor is a Christian. She didn't use to wear a ring. So I went to take the thing Baba put there. So I took it. And I came to her room. She said, ha! Born again, oh. I said, see. Sister. She said, I put it on the table. She said, yeah, yeah! So I took it. I was not chasing her with it. Hallelujah. She said she was looking at me like something was going to happen. I said, nothing. So when I woke up the next morning, she was surprised. So some people, you are there for power, but there's power in the Holy Ghost. Say, there's power in the Holy Ghost. There's some people that will be doing shakara in church. I don't believe the church service will be like that. When they see jazz, they run. Useless. You know? So there are people like that. You just, but as a Christian, there's a craving. You just knew. I knew when I saw it, I said, I'm going to see this again. I knew. The week after, and I saw people casting out demons. Of course, we were not qualified because we were just new converts, according to the doctrine then. But I saw the brother, I was a bit uncomfortable. Because one single person, everybody was doing deliverance for the same person. From morning till evening. So I told myself, in the boarding house, just school students, when they want to command juniors, they don't take this long. I don't know any senior, except the ones that don't know they are seniors. Who will say, one boy, in fact, they will call you, they will just say, they will say one boy. One goat! You don't answer. They will treat you like a goat. One idiot! You say, yes, please. No, yes, please! One said, we should just be singing. We're stupid, as stupid can be. I doubt it. Yes, anyone, as stupid. After all, everyone said, we are all stupid, stupid, we are all mad. You know, he now got upset that we turned it into a song. We are all stupid, we are. And he said, you are singing. He beat the hell out of us for singing. What is that would you say? So I knew that it's not possible. If you have authority over something, you don't say, come out of, you say, out! And you turn away because it's done. I saw it. But I knew in my spirit. I may not have the information, but the Holy Ghost in me kept craving for me to know more. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, God has put in you a desire for more. A desire for more. Don't stay at just one level. Speaking in tongues. Thank God for speaking in tongues. Thank God for interpretation of tongues. But they are the movings of the Spirit. So those who talk about the moving of the Spirit are referring to those interruptions where there's a freshness. There's something fresh in the move of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. And we must be open. The other day we said, you know, the first way we see the move of the Spirit, Genesis 1, 2, right? Right? The Spirit moving over the waters. Then also Genesis chapter 2, where the waters now flow to the nation. Remember that? And we said, that is where the old time has got the move of the Spirit. Because water was now used to express the moving of the Spirit. Isaiah 44 verse 3, say, I will pour water upon you in the desert places. Water. Water for the move of the Spirit. When Joel said, I will pour out of my spirit, is a symbol of pouring water. Joel 2:28, of my spirit upon all flesh. In John 3:5, Jesus said, except a man is born of water, which refers to the Spirit, he cannot see, enter into the kingdom. We saw that the other time. In John 4, at the well, he got the description for the movement of the Spirit by using the well. He asked the woman to give him water. She said, if you knew the gift of God, and the one who is asking you, John 4:10, you will have asked of him, and he will have given you living water. So she looked at him and said, You don't even have water to fetch. Where are you getting this living water from? He answered her and said, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again. Hallelujah. But he that drinks, John 4:14, of the water I shall give in him, shall have in him a well, shall never thirst again, shall have in him a well of water, springing up unto everlasting life. Are you here? In John 7:36-37. Says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, he that is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. For as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, John 7 now tells us, this spake he of the Spirit, which those that believe on him should receive. But the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So water, right, is used to symbolize the moving of God's Spirit. So you now have those who are Pentecostals, charismatic, evangelicals too, they will say things like, flow with the Spirit. Why do they use the word flow? Because of the use, the parable, the illustration of water in the moving of God's Spirit. Are you here? So, when we talk about the move of God's Spirit, it's that freshness, that outpouring of the Spirit of God. Paul instructs us that we should desire for more. Desire. We should want more. We should want more. Hallelujah. Are you in church? Jesus. Now, when it comes to these things, look at 1 Corinthians 12:1. Watch it again. Paul says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Which means a believer can be ignorant. And the Greek word for that ignorant is willful ignorance. You just chose not to know. Willful ignorance. You just chose not to know. By yourself. Now listen. That will have ignorance, which means a Christian, a believer, must know about the gifts of God's Spirit. Must know about the moving of the Spirit. You must know it. The other day we looked at different kinds of meetings. There are different kinds of meetings. There are prayer meetings. There are teaching meetings. There are healing meetings. Evangelistic outreaches. Meetings. There are Holy Ghost meetings. A Holy Ghost meeting is where we just allow the moving of the Spirit. The moving of the Spirit. A Holy Ghost meeting is where we allow the moving of the Spirit. In utterances, in revelation, we allow the moving of the Spirit in a Holy Ghost meeting. A Christian should know what is a Holy Ghost meeting. What do I mean by that? She will tell your friends, say, guys, I think on Tuesday, let's have a Holy Ghost meeting. If we can say, let us have a prayer meeting, let's have a teaching meeting, we should be able to say, let us have a Holy Ghost meeting. Now, you might not be able to say that if you don't understand that the moving of the Spirit can be learned. You can learn it. I recall one of our meetings in 1994, Kingdom Harvest Festival, we called it then. And we invited we didn't invite the man. He came to the meeting. It was a mistake I will never forget. So we're having a Holy Ghost meeting. So people were rejoicing in the Spirit. We're ministering in the Spirit. I brought the two friends of mine to preach. Interestingly, two of them are late. One of them was my boss then, Reverend Frank Kalakwa was my boss then. Tsuji was my other friend. So we came to preach. So this particular service, I had this man, he's a reverend minister from another denomination. So when he came, I assumed, because that denomination talks about the Holy Ghost. So I just called him, sir, do you have something for us from the Holy Ghost? So I just expected him. Because already, people were already in the Spirit. I mean, what I mean in the Spirit. People were already giving utterances, being given. People were rejoicing. Hands were being laid on people. So I expected naturally, as a reverend minister who was an overseer of over more than one church, that he should know. So I gave him the microphone. Said, just bless us. Oh gosh. He just stood like this. His mouth was closed. That's when I knew there was a problem. And I was right there with him. You know, I started to sweat. What have I done? I'm not looking. He held the mic like this. So I said, sir, we're waiting. He now smiled. Let the spirit take control.
Hi!
So that's how we had to wait for the control. After a while. And the point with that meeting was there was just one mic. You know this way you have to go and borrow mic and borrow this that looks like a radio. So I just had to stylishly. Thank you, sir. I collected the mic. Thank you, sir. You can go back to your seat, sir. Whatever he thought, I don't know. Maybe he felt that we were making things up. You know, maybe, how can people just, let's rejoice with the Holy Ghost and they just do it like that? You know, like that. But what I'm trying to say is, so the man probably felt that God was just going, no. The moving of the Spirit has our initiatives in it. Is that clear? It does. It has our initiatives. So next week, Sunday, praise the Lord, we'll be having a multi-dimensional kind of Holy Ghost meeting. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what to do. Okay? Or we'll do something today. Amen. Are you here? So, you know, some people feel that's the way it is. Does the Holy Ghost just move on you? No. Paul says, I would not have you ignorant. That means I can tell my friends and say, guys, let's have a Holy Ghost meeting. And what we mean, let's have the Spirit of God flow amongst us. Because that's what Jesus did. From John 14 to John 16, Jesus told disciples about the Holy Spirit. He told them in verse 16, I pray the Father will give you another comforter that may abide with you forever. John 14, 16, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it dwells with you and shall be in you. John 14, 16 and 17. In John 14, 26, he said, the Spirit of truth. Then another comforter, you know, which the Father will send in my name. He said, he will teach you of all things and bring to your remembrance whatever things I've said to you. John 14, 26. In John 15 again, and verse 16, he said, the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father in my name, he will testify of me. John 14, 15 and 16. In John 16 and 7 and 8, he said, if I do not depart, he will not come to you. When he comes to you, he will guide, he will convict the world of sin, or righteousness, or judgment. John 16, verse 7 and 8. So he had spoken about the moving of the Spirit. So why did Jesus take a long time to explain the things of the Spirit? Because it has to be taught. It has to be taught. He taught it. Now, listen carefully to this. After teaching it, because there are people that are, they will know the teaching. It taught the things of the Spirit. It taught the move of the Spirit. Oh, sorry. It taught the things of the Spirit to them in John 14 to 16. But now listen to this. He now told them the other side. In Luke 24 and 49. Look at that. Go there quickly. Luke 24, 49. He said to them, behold. Now what's behold? See. So which means that you must observe. So the things of the Spirit, the move of the Spirit is taught. And I'm sensing that to those of us who are leaders in church, or by the grace of God, you also have people under your care in this church that you disciple. There are times like that you sense this in your heart. What do? You teach. You explain. But it's not just the explanation. He taught them.
Then he now said to them in Luke 24:49, behold. The word behold means to look very well, which means if you do not observe, you won't see it. Look very well. I send the promise of my Father upon you. So, which means that when it comes to the moving of the Spirit, I need to observe. There are things that you will know what to do by looking around. Just looking around. He said, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Then he said to them, Luke 24:49, he said, however, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Wait, he told them. He gave them instructions on how to catch. To catch, you must observe. Luke 24:49. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come on you. You shall receive power. You will take it or you will catch it. So there are things to see so that you will know what to take. Look at me. Do you know the way you join a prayer meeting? Look at this. If people, for example, if you go join a prayer meeting and some of those things we know them easily. For example, if you enter a church and we want to do a Bible teaching and then the pastor, myself, will say, praise the Lord, let's turn our Bible. Immediately, you don't have to be told, where's your Bible? Just bring your Bible out. Of course, if you are also taught, you bring out your notes. Because you know that when the word of God is taught, you read your Bible, right? Now, if it's a prayer meeting too, I would say, brethren, we have a prayer meeting. Immediately, it's not likely that you hold your Bible like this in a prayer meeting, right? No, you are likely to maybe put it somewhere because you know in praying, you do more of the talking, right? You already know what to do. So when you say we want to have a prayer meeting, even if you enter and people are already praying, for example, if you get to a place, maybe a family house or something, and people are praying, you already know to close your eyes because you know they are praying. Now, if you notice they are holding their hands, what do? You go close and hold hands. Sometimes even if you are praying about something, you know you can get, what are we praying about, right? You say, we're praying about the nation, we're praying about Uncle Susu, and so you start to pray. Now, the same way you know how to join those meetings, you should know how to join the Holy Ghost meeting. Are you here? And just the same way you saw it was a Bible study, you saw it was a prayer meeting, you can also just see what is going on here. What's happening? Just by seeing. In Acts 18, verse 18. Now, when Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ, then he now, the apostles in Acts 8:14, are you in church? Acts 8:14. The apostles heard that Samaria received the word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John. Let's say 15 together. Who? Prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Look at 16. For as he has yet fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized. And now falling means that something you can see. Why they say the Holy Ghost came on people is because it's something you can see. You can hear it. You can see it. So, in the moving of the Spirit, you must observe. You can see it. Remember, we've already tackled attitude. There is no desire because you are ignorant or you are just carnal. Is that clear? So we clear that. Now, you can see it. So, the Holy Ghost was falling on. Now look at the next thing he says here. Now he says, they laid their hands on them. So can we communicate the move of the Spirit by laying on hands? So when you see someone lay hands on another person and the person maybe turns over or he runs or rejoices, you say, he shouldn't have been the one to lay hands. No, you can communicate the things of God. Healing can be communicated by laying on hands, right? and the moving of the Spirit. So they laid hands on people for the Holy Ghost to come on them. So laying on of hands, can laying on of hands initiate the move of the Spirit in the Holy Ghost meeting? Yeah. We saw it again in Acts 9. Saul of Tarsus, hands were laid on him by Ananias, Acts 9, 16 and 17. We saw again in Acts 19, where Paul in verse 6 laid hands on the 12 folks he met in Ephesus, and the Holy Ghost came on them. So we can lay hands to initiate the moving of the Spirit. So they laid hands. So which means that if I'm in a meeting, look up now, and I'm seeing hands laid, I should what? Observe. Why am I observing? So that I can receive. I observe. I won't forget, you know, now, that observation should not be an observation of taking notes like a journalist. No. It's because I want to receive. There's an attitude that a Christian has. I remember, I mean, you know the story. I went to a meeting in Lateran Assembly 29 years ago. And there was a man called Ross Tatro who was there ministering. And that meeting was not open to everybody. But I found myself there somehow. So by the time I got in, the man just called out. He pointed to me and I came out. So as he was prophesying, he now asked me, are you listening to what I'm saying? He did not know that I came with a walkman to record everything he was saying. Now, why did I bring a walkman? I didn't record the teaching. I knew by my desire that ministry will be received by me. The man didn't know me from anywhere. I never heard his name before. But I said, when I get to the meeting, the Holy Ghost will minister to me. I said that. Just like the woman in Mark 5. She said, if I touch his clothes, I will be whole. Jesus did not know she was going to do that. Jesus did not even minister to her directly. Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, but the woman had a desire. Say with me, desire. There's something about desire. She said, if I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. So other people were there touching his clothes. I say, almost see satin. See fine lace. That's what they were just doing there. Okay? But someone that said, so a man of God can wear this. That's what we're doing. But she said, I will touch his clothes. I'll be whole. She just kept saying it. She kept saying it. In fact, Mark says she kept saying it. She kept saying it. She kept saying it. So you can see that a man can initiate the movement of God's Spirit. She just kept saying it. She kept saying it. There was a man in Matthew 8. He said to Jesus, a centurion, that my servant lies at home sick. Jesus said, I'll come. And he said, you don't have to. He now said, just speak your word, right? Wherever you are. Said, I'm a man under authority. I'm a man with soldiers under me. I said to one, go, he goes. Said to one, and he said, just speak. He said, I've never found so great, not in Israel. And in that same hour, the servant was whole. Now what did he do? He set his desire right. There's something about your own desire. If you go to church and you are in a hurry, that's what you are going to get. That's what you are going to get. And usually, people pay for such carelessness later in life. I told you of a lady that 2 years ago, I think. She came to me to talk about something, of course. And then when she was talking, as she was speaking, I just had a vision. And I saw her, what she had done years before. So I said to her, did you attend this university? She said, yes. She felt that maybe we were in the same school together. You know, some people can be a bit dumb. She said, She almost went like, what hall were you in? And I said, one day, you and your colleagues, and I gave her the picture. You were in the room. I said, one of them was a Muslim wearing, at that point, she now paused. You know, she was initially thinking, did we meet at faculty? All of this is, you came to a man of God. You think he's going to be guessing. So I said to him, that day you said something. You said you would never marry a man of God. And in that meeting, you all spoke down on men of God. No, I don't want a husband that people will not be coming to. I just want a husband to myself. I said this and said, you all laughed. I said, the other two
Three. I said, one of them was not a Christian, was a Muslim. The other ones were not believers. You were the only believer there. You ought to have known better. So what you said, she was a believer speaking, she was not at school in the fellowship. So years down the line, what she said came to pass. She was not really struggling. And I said, well, it was what you said that day that happened. So there are folks, for example, who will miss something. There was another time like that I went to preach somewhere about 23 years ago or so. As I was in the meeting, you know, before the meeting, sorry. So we had this series of meetings and, you know, it was an outreach really. So we now had a meeting in the evening. People were going to come and have a Holy Ghost meeting. So as I was praying and preparing, the Lord showed me a vision. And I saw a guy who came in. In fact, this is one of the most shocking things I've ever seen. And I saw the guy, as I was ministering, alright, the guy came in the vision. I saw the dress he wore. He came to this side. It was a very dim, the light wasn't much in the meeting. So he came to the right side. And the Lord said, now, I want you to tell him this. It will solve this and this problem, but he will not stay to the end. He will leave. And you know, it's so shocking. He said he won't stay to the end. He will leave. He said, just about the time you are about to minister to him, he's going to walk out. You know, it was so, the day was so shocking that I called the pastor and I said there's something. I didn't give him all the details, but he understood what I was saying. So, and the Lord didn't want me to say anything about it. I know what it was. I've not said it till today. What it was. So as I got to the pulpit, I was preaching. He walked in. I saw him. I felt like saying, oh boy, please. You know, boy, of course, you don't do that when you're under instruction. He came in. And throughout the meeting, he was saying, glory! Yeah! Oh! I was looking at him. You know, he tried on my face. In fact, so, I think two of our pastors today were in the meeting. Or three, yeah, they were in the meeting. I kept looking at the guy. You mean you walk out of this meeting? Do you know, as I said, let's get on our feet, he just walked out. Now, that fellow, maybe years down the line, will now be struggling. Maybe in the work of the, there'll be something, but something that been asked to be fixed. Are you following what I'm saying here? You know, there's something about just learning the moving of the Spirit. You have to know it. So look at that Acts 8. You have to observe. You observe. You make proper observation. That Acts 8. So they laid hands. So laying of hands can communicate? Huh? The moving of the Spirit. Are you here? Can I lay hands and somebody will rejoice? Fall into a trance? Yeah. I thank God, and I'm just saying by the grace of God. I know that there's such a thing on my own life as a unique one. That God made it like that over the years. I've said it in many fora. When I lay hands on people supernaturally, they just find out what God wants them to do. That has happened many times in many years in many countries. And I just lay hands on them. And they just, in fact, more often than not, they'll just find themselves doing the work of the ministry. A good number will say they just find the gifts of the Spirit working in their life supernaturally. Just sometimes even unheralded. So, in this instance, the things of the Spirit can be communicated. Just lay hands. You know, and laying on of hands seems to be like a getaway. In Mark 6, when they did not even want Jesus, they had so much dishonor. Mark 6, they were so much dishonor. The place was filled with unbelief that Jesus could do no mighty work. But you know that in spite of it, he laid hands. Laying on our hands seemed to be the getaway. It's like the getaway. At least, almost like, if nothing will work, lay hands. If nothing will work, lay hands. Why? Because God has made us to receive many things by contact. By contact. Some things will happen to your life that you won't necessarily know what it is initially. Hands will just be laid on you. That's all. It's later years that you will know what happened. Later years. How did I begin to teach? I never knew I was ever going to stand up and say I'm teaching the Bible. I just used to, like we say, preach, just shout. I didn't even need to explain Bible subjects. And I went into a meeting. If I did, I thought I didn't. I wasn't even paying attention. And a man just called out. He said, if you are called to teach, I didn't bother to come out because I didn't think I was going to ever be called to teach. So he now said, you, I wore a black shirt. I'm wearing black today. It's a silk shirt. It had some things written on it, you know. And, something drawn, horses were drawn in it. And I wore slippers. That was what I was in the service. And I just came. And I laid hands on me and said, from today, that which is not on my word as a gift of the teacher, I'm going to walk in you. You explain God's word and people don't understand. I was the only person he laid hands on like that. I barely could get my feet on. I struggled to my seat. I had to walk through to the bus station, which was almost like 1 hour. And I was dragging my feet. Oh my God. But I think I've been teaching. Hallelujah. Now I didn't even know what he was saying, but just by hands laid on me, the things of the Spirit were communicated. The first time I had a trance, and the trance was, this is about 31 years ago, then the trance was deep, such that I was in it for over 6.5 hours. It was a friend of mine. He just called us to come and pray, and we're praying. I used to use the thick glasses then. So the first thing he did, he removed it. He said, you are healed in Jesus' name. Says an evidence of that, you begin to have multiples of visions. That's how he said it. And I didn't know what happened next. They had to take me to the bed to go and sleep. Told me to lie me down. I was there in trances, seen just by a friend, not even a big meeting, a friend just laid hands and communicated the things of the Spirit. Something about being intelligent. Some guys will have been in that meeting looking at their wristwatch. When are we going to end? That alone sets you off. So you must have the intelligence. Like I said, you know, now look at this one, Acts 8. There's something we always miss in this particular instance. The Holy Ghost fell by laying on hands, right? Right? So if hands are laid, the Holy Ghost will fall, right? Just by hands laid. Now, in 18, let's take 18 together and slowly. When Simon did what? Saw. That through, he offered them money, saying, give me this power. Now hold on. What did he do? He saw. Now, the desire was wrong. If he didn't say, give me money. If all he said was, I want to be able to bless lives like this. You know he will get it. It was a money part. But there's something we shouldn't miss there. He saw something. He made an observation. How many of us can make that observation? I said, I saw a unique flow of God's Spirit in the service today. Lord, I want it. Hallelujah. I want this. I want this in my next follow-up. I want this in my next cell group meeting. I want this when I'm ministering. I want this. I want this. You know, he saw it. You can see and observe. He saw it. In Acts 2, look at what Peter said about the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2, he said, the things that you see, and verse 33, the things that you see and hear, the things that you see, which means you can see. They saw it. Now, in seeing it, people can take different positions. On the day of Pentecost, some just said that, at least one's drunk. Are they drunk? Other guys came and said, what meanness all this? You know, but the truth is that they all saw it. And some saw. These are the wonderful works of God. So, the seeing can inspire faith or unbelief. They saw. Now, listen. This is important. That things happen and you don't know about it does not mean it's not God. Obviously, this guy saw something new on the day of Pentecost and they questioned it. Does that mean it wasn't God? So in the move of the Spirit, there will be new things. there will be new things. You know, the first time I saw somebody laugh in the spirit, I'd never seen it before. I'd never done it before. But in my spirit, I knew it was of God. I couldn't explain it. I said, this is of God. A believer must be very positive, touching the moving of the spirit. I'm taking my time deliberately today to just explain to you. Must be positive as touching the moving of the spirit. He must be. Say, I'm positive. As touching the move and the moving of God's spirit. Things could happen. Pam, pam. I said, ah, this is not, you know, Peter went to the house of Cornelius and he had a sermon. The sermon had conclusion, introduction, the body of the teaching, illustration, explanation. Bible says, while Peter yet spake, he has not finished that sermon till today. The Holy Ghost can interrupt the sermon, right? And come in the middle. And then you just put your Bible down and do something else. The Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. What else happened? Said, on the circumcision was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Those that now came with Peter, watch this. They were astonished. They were surprised. Which means, in a Holy Ghost meeting, something will happen that you'll be surprised. That you had never seen before. You had never seen it before. Don't overrate your knowledge and exposure. You had never seen it. Now, we saw Simon saw it. You had never seen it before. Never. Now, let's put it aside now. Say, what about saying you had never experienced it before? So, be open to the moving of God's Spirit. Be open to the moving of God's Spirit. Be open. It interrupts protocol, sets aside things we had even planned. You know, there are times like that we have, and then I have a sermon, and I just don't get to it at all. I was preaching somewhere last week, and I had what I was going to teach. As I got on the stage, on the pulpit, it just changed. And I just ministered differently. That's the Holy Ghost. I'm good enough for the pastor. I remember, you know, the pastor, he knows me. And I said, I'm just going to have the Holy Ghost, right? Yeah. We're just going to allow the Holy Ghost to move. And in such times, there will be a lot done in a few minutes that will have been done in a few years in the moving of the Spirit. In the moving of the Spirit. And I'll say this. You know, you are going to be explaining a lot to people about speaking in tongues, but not the Holy Ghost. But just see, from this day henceforth, you would have a uniqueness in ministering to people to be filled with the Holy Ghost such that they will speak with other tongues. Like this.